This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Electronic cigarettes have not been on the market for very long, but they've certainly taken hold. They've been marketed as smoking cessation tools, but critics say they're not effective in helping people stop smoking and instead are encouraging use and addiction of tobacco by young people. A researcher at St. Michael's College in Colchester has just been given a large sum of money by the National Institutes of Health to do more research into young people and e-cigarettes. Ari Kirschenbaum is an associate professor of psychology at St. Mike's, where he runs a psychopharmacology lab. Professor Kirschenbaum, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks very much.
What's the central question you're trying to answer?
Well, there are a number of questions, I'd have to say, but I think the principal one is whether or not these products, these e-cigarettes, are dependence-producing on their own. And I think the second question is, what makes them dependence-producing? Because as much as we know that nicotine is the principal agent in tobacco that makes it dependence-producing, we don't know necessarily why.
Is that unique to nicotine? I mean, do we know why? We know receptors in the brain that are involved in other kinds of chemical addiction. We don't know that about nicotine?
Well, we know what receptors are activated, and it's easy to see with something like heroin or OxyContin, these drugs that act principally on the opioid receptors in the brain, that they produce a hedonic sensation, a sensation of pleasure and satisfaction that is really unparalleled with other natural reinforcers in our world, right? So it's easy to see why those opioids are dependence-producing. And although nicotine acts on those same receptors, the opioid receptors, it doesn't do so to a large degree. And the majority of research shows that the opioid receptor activation by nicotine isn't necessarily a smoking gun. It's not what we can look to and say, hey, these receptors are the reason why nicotine is dependence-producing. So we're looking for other reasons and have other hypotheses about why nicotine is dependence-producing. And some of it comes from the fact there are findings that nicotine enhances attention, concentration, and those are desirable outcomes. But I think also within the last 10 years, there has been a number of labs throughout the country that have produced data showing that one of the things that nicotine does is it makes other activities more satisfying, more rewarding. And I think that is pretty insidious. It's not so much the nicotine itself that's saying, hey, wow, this is so pleasure-producing, this is so pleasurable and wonderful, but rather that nicotine is making those activities like work or watching a movie or having having dinner, that makes those activities more reinforcing.
So one of the things that you're doing with e-cigarettes is because e-cigarettes, first of all, target young people, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but also there's a difference between e-cigarettes and traditional cigarettes in terms of all of the additives and other things that are in them?
Exactly. I think that's why for many years it was difficult to say with absolute certainty that nicotine was the only agent in tobacco that was dependence-producing. It probably isn't the only agent, but it is probably one of the big actors that makes tobacco dependence-producing. So there are a lot of aspects of tobacco and tobacco smoking that we can resolve by looking at e-cigarettes. Just say, what happens when we look at pure nicotine delivery? What kinds of results, what kind of behavioral effects can we see? And, I think without a doubt, tobacco smoking is bad for you, right? That's nothing new.
Right. Yeah.
But I think one of the questions that we need to begin asking ourselves is, what are the dangers of pure nicotine? And psychologically, I think you can see that there are a number of psychological problems, disorders that are comorbid or associated with nicotine use. So, for instance, chronic pain is exacerbated by tobacco use and nicotine consumption. We also see that there are a number of compulsive disorders. There are substance dependence disorders, anxiety, depression. All these psychological disorders seem to go hand in hand with tobacco use. And one question might be, do they also go hand in hand with e-cigarette use?
So, Professor Kirschenbaum, one of the things that you're doing is you're looking at this in young people, partly because e-cigarettes are targeted and marketed at young people. And I'd love to know a little bit more about how you're testing this, because you're actually asking young people to use e-cigarettes. How do you do this ethically?
Right. Well, that's a big problem. So young people, these are young adults. We're looking for an age category between ages 18 and 22. And there are a number of reasons why we want to look at that particular age group. One of those reasons is that this is the age group when people typically start using tobacco products. So this is sort of that entry level, you know, that when those young people start, young adults start using them. The other thing is that I think you mentioned in your intro that the marketing campaigns for e-cigarettes seem to be targeting this particular population. So that's another reason why we want to look into that. And of course, we're interested in what the effects of e-cigarettes are on these young people, but we can't do that with young people that are totally naive to nicotine and tobacco products. That would be unethical to just sort of use, you know, to introduce people to, hey, if we believe that this is dependence producing or the nicotine is dependence producing, giving them the nicotine is not going to be great. So,
right.
I've been really fortunate to have worked with one of the world's leading researchers on tobacco withdrawal, and his name is Dr. John Hughes at the University of Vermont. And he and I worked together on developing a plan that we believe is helps us answer some of these questions in the most ethical way possible. And that is by finding young adults who have already experimented with tobacco products, have never tried e-cigarettes, and are not currently using any e-cigarettes or nicotine tobacco products.
So, and these are not all St. Michael's students.
Oh, right. No, it's important that they're not all St. Michael's students. It's important that we get college students and sort of non-college peers that are involved in the study. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, I really look forward to hearing more about what you find, because this grant that I mentioned from the NIH will really help you do this study, help you do this work, and I understand also help you out in some of the classes that you teach, like drugs and behavior and research methods. And I hope maybe you can come back in a few years when you have more data and you can help us interpret some of what you've been studying. Can I pin you to that now?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to share our results with you. And I am very excited to get students at St. Michael's involved with this, because I think that as a teacher, that's one of the most rewarding aspects of the job, is helping students understand the process of science and process of research and being there when they make that first discovery. Hey, we just learned something that nobody else has ever learned before. And that's really wonderful. So I'm very proud to be part of St. Mike's and proud to bring this grant to St. Michael's College.
Ari Kirschenbaum is an associate professor of psychology at St. Michael's College. He's just been awarded more than $365,000 to study the effect of electronic cigarettes on the behavior of young people. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.